Good morning and welcome everybody to our ASI radio show. We're here with a whole different crew today because everybody else is in New York. What's up with that?
That's right. Let them have New York. We'll have fun here.
That's right. Who do we have in the house? We have Chris Ruvo.
What's up?
Chris Ruvo, you're a writer for Stitches and Wearables. A little bit of everything.
Yeah, I think you would know that after almost 2 years. But yeah,
I know, but I'm introducing you to all our listeners.
Hi, listeners. Yeah.
And we have CJ Mitica, editor of Wearables Magazine, straight off his Cinco de Mayo bender. How was your weekend, CJ?
It was a bender. I had a 30th birthday party I attended, so
It was a
dual bender.
There you go. And now we have Michael Kelly in the house as well, and he is one of our copywriters for marketing. Hi, Michael.
Hey, good morning.
How are you today?
Not too bad.
Are you ready to do this?
Born ready.
And also from marketing, we have Liz Italia. She's also a copywriter.
Yes.
And you two were the copycats in our big foosball tournament
a couple weeks ago. Yep.
And if memory serves me correctly, you did very, very poorly.
Yes.
Is there a more severe word for poorly?
I think we lost in like 30 seconds.
Out the first round. But they had the best uniforms, though.
They did have the best uniforms. Do-it-yourself homemade uniforms with cats on them and whatnot.
Sharpies.
Sharpies.
The best uniform Sharpie markers can...
That's right. I was impressed. Anyway, we have a great show for you today. Kentucky Derby horse owners Mary Beth and Chuck Sanford are supposed to be calling in at some point, so we'll have a fun little interview with them. And we have a bunch of other things on our lineup, and CJ Mitica is going to tell you what we have.
Mm-hmm. So like Kathy mentioned, we're going to have that interview with the horse owners from the Kentucky Derby. We're going to be checking in with Andy Cohen at the ASI show to see what's going on in the Big Apple. Our call-in question today will be talking about rush orders, so feel free to call in for that. I'm going to be talking about crisis management for your business. We know about crises around here. Chris is going to have 5 signs that your ads aren't working. Liz is going to talk about 8 core beliefs of extraordinary bosses. Michael is going to talk about getting your message across with body language. We're going to be talking about something in the news, teens getting alcohol poisoning from hand sanitizer.
Chris, I like how I get that.
Yeah, Chris.
Thanks, message received.
Chris, our alcohol correspondent, will handle
Cheers.
That
Kids
one.
Today.
If we have time, I'm going to talk about our top t-shirts, promotional t-shirts from our recent list for wearables. We'll also talk about men are out shopping women online. Kathy has that bit of news. We're going to talk about our favorite things. And maybe the Joe Show. Joe, what's going on today? Joe?
Oh, Joe's not here. He's in New York, and he sent me a picture of his hotel room for some reason.
Was it nice?
Let's just say he could cook in it. He has a full kitchen.
Oh, wow.
It's pretty awesome.
Because that's what everyone wants to do when they travel.
That's right. In New York. Land of 1,000 restaurants.
People who live in New York don't cook.
That's right. I don't cook, and I live in Langhorne, Pennsylvania. Okay, well, thanks, CJ. As CJ mentioned, we have a call-in question today. Call us if you're challenged by a difficult order, and our call-in number is 215-953-4979. And Andy will also be calling at some point to let us know what he's doing in New York. But first, on line one, we have Lisa calling in. No, that's not the Kentucky Derby people yet.
Jumping the stars gun.
But Lisa, how'd you like that intro?
Well, I feel honored. I feel like I'm going to disappoint you there with my question.
I don't think so. Let's hear it.
Well, I'm kind of new to the industry, and recently I just remember feeling overwhelmed with holiday and uniform orders during the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. And I work from home, and I only have one other person supporting me. So I was wondering if you had any suggestions to help me out with that.
Temporary staff.
Yeah, that's a great hire temporary staff. That's a great suggestion, Chris. I would say if you belong to any networking groups, ask around. Who knows somebody that can use extra cash during the holidays? Everybody could. And these days, a lot of people are out of work and would like a temporary job. Maybe you can hire some college kids also to work during college break or from the local college, maybe a few hours every morning before you open your business.
Housewives are a great untapped market, too. You have a lot of people who the kids may just be getting back into school, but they don't want to go back to work full time. They might be looking to pick up a few hours here and there, and they wouldn't necessarily need a whole lot of money to do so. So that's
true.
A good resource as well.
That is true.
Also, I would suggest, especially if it's a busy time of year, rely on your suppliers to sort of help out. That's what they're there for. You're supposed to view your suppliers as a partner. So whether they can maybe join you on sales calls or help give presentations, all those different things, you can use them as an extension of your own business.
Yeah, definitely. Especially as far as the uniforms programs are you that you're concerned with, you said you were feeling a little challenged with those. Mm-hmm. Your supplier, I would find like a few trusted wearable suppliers and take them actually with you on your sales calls, because they can talk about, they can speak to material and durability and, you know, various safety features.
Yeah, and they'll bring samples as well, so that's definitely a big part of the presentation.
That's right. And one more thing I want to add, Kim Newell of Worldwide Lines, we just had a Ask a Supplier online exclusive feature with her, and one of the things she said is if you're a very small distributor like you apparently are, you should be working with 10 to 15 core vendors, preferred vendors, and then you could, you know, all their capabilities, they'll be like a partner to you, and that should help out too.
Great. All right, thanks.
Okay, stay on the line for your $25 Visa gift card. If anybody else wants to call in about this topic, the number is 215-953-4979, even if you have some advice for our listeners. Okay, guess what? Guess what? Really? The Kentucky Derby owners are on the phone. On line four, we have Mary Beth Sanford. Hi, Mary Beth.
Good morning, Kathy.
How are you?
Coming down,
I bet. Yeah, that's actually one of my questions. I read that you had 25 family members at the Derby, so that must have been some fun party. How many mint juleps did you drink?
One.
Just one?
Just one.
Way to party hardy, Mary Beth.
Slow down.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about Take Charge Indy? We know he had a little bit of difficulty. He came out strong, then he had some difficulty, and he wound up with sort of an injury, but I hope he's on the mend. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. Chuck will tell you about it because he's the horse expert.
Oh, okay, great. Hi, Chuck.
Good morning, Kathy. How are you?
Well, good, great. Welcome to you, and congratulations on having a horse in the race.
It's been an exciting year so far.
I bet it has. So tell us about Take Charge Indy.
Take Charge Indy is just the kindest, most marvelous animal for the horse lovers in your audience. He's a very kind horse. He's a very smart horse. And in leading up to the race, as you know, we had Calvin Burrell on the horse. He's won 3 out of the last 5 derbies.
Right.
And I can't tell you how high Calvin was on our colt. But what happened in the race, he broke so-so, but Calvin got the was having the perfect ride on him. He was exactly where we wanted him. He was 5-6 lengths off the lead. We're going into the far turn, and Calvin had all kinds of horse under him. He said, I'm just sitting. And when he got ready to go engage, and he told Indy to go, Indy went, but he took a bad step.
Ooh.
Ooh. He chipped a bone in his ankle.
Mm-hmm.
It's not major.
Okay.
Well, that's good.
So we're going to let the colt down. He'll stay at Churchill. It was reported he was going down to Lexington on Tuesday, but he's probably going down on Friday or Saturday. And on Monday, he will be operated on.
Mm-hmm.
Prognosis is outstanding.
Oh, that's great.
And we expect to have him back in training in 2 months.
Well, that's great. Congratulations on that. I'm glad everything's working out. And I don't know if you could see through our webcam, but we're having a champagne toast here this morning in honor of our favorite horse in the race. That's Take Charge Indy. And Liz Italia also is donning a very adorable Kentucky Derby hat.
That's right.
So on that note, I wanted to ask Mary Beth to describe her hat for us.
Oh, sure. I wore a Fascinator.
Uh-huh.
Blue and white, because that is our Silks colors.
Right.
Big blue ribbon and white, and then it had stars on it. So it was all in honor of our Silks.
Well, that's great. Can you email me a picture of that so we could put it on our radio site?
Sure, I'll be glad to.
That's great. And I know that you also had some sponsorship in the race, too, for the Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund. Can you tell us a little bit about that cause?
Yes, Calvin very much, he donates a lot of his winnings to the Permanently Disabled, and that is his fund. There are so many different charities within the racing association, because there's, you know, the horses that can't race anymore, and there's jockeys. The Permanently Disabled is for the jockeys who have had accidents, who are in wheelchairs, who need help the rest of their lives.
Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds like a great cause. Did you see a lot of promotional products while you were there?
Oh, my gosh. The whole infield, the streets going into the Derby are all promotional products. It's just everything from glasses to pens to ties, jackets, blankets. You can't even begin to imagine how many promotional products that there are.
Stuffed toys?
Oh, yeah, for the kids. Yeah, there were a lot of kids there, too. Well, that's great. And I have one more question for you. What's more exciting, having a horse in the Kentucky Derby or being on ASI Radio?
That's a pretty loaded question.
About that?
Excuse me?
I said, can we have time to think about it?
No, don't worry about it. We already know your answer. Well, thanks to both of you for being with us this morning. We're really happy for you and excited for Take Charge Indy, and we wish him a speedy recovery.
I'll see you at the show tomorrow and the next day.
Okay, great. You have fun at that.
Thanks.
All right, bye-bye. All right, that was really fun. That was really exciting.
Absolutely.
Now, just
a
as
heartbreak story,
just
though,
as yeah. exciting, I think, is that we have Andy Cohen calling in live from New York.
Wow, nothing matters.
Are we going to use the horse opening again?
Yeah. Yeah, let's do it for everything.
Yeah.
Andy's on line one. Andy?
Hey, how are you guys?
Good.
What's
how
up,
are
Andy?
You?
What's up, Andy?
I'm doing good, except I'm missing the champagne toast. So what's up with that?
I'm sure you were drinking something last night. I hope it was. I hope it wasn't tequila and hot sauce like in San Diego.
No, we're gonna keep that on the West Coast.
Okay, okay. Andy, I read on your Twitter account this morning that you attended a David Blaze session. Can you give us one of his top tips?
Yeah, sure. He talks a lot about the importance of choosing the right suppliers, making sure that you qualify them well. His first session this morning was a kind of overall session for new distributors on how to succeed in the industry. So, you know, he talked about the importance of promotional products and stressing to clients the idea that, you know, promotional products are really the only form of advertising that when people receive it, they actually say thanks, as opposed to, you know, flipping the page or just throwing it away to begin with. So people appreciate receiving promotional products, and it's a great advertising medium. So that's really what he was stressing this morning.
Mm-hmm. And do you have any sessions that you're moderating today or the next couple of days?
You know what, Kathy? For the first show in about 5 years, I am actually sessionless.
Wow, you
Slacker.
Deserve it.
Slacker. Free trip to New York.
You deserve it, Andy.
Yeah, so I'm, you know, strolling around and taking a lot in.
Do you have a kitchen in your room like Joe Haley?
I do have a kitchen in my room, and it's really, really odd.
That's what I was saying. Like,
yes, we figured it would be.
Got a full stove and a fridge that's bigger than my refrigerator at home.
Yeah,
and,
I know.
And yet there's no dresser, so I think.
Are you staying at a campground?
Put the clothes in the fridge.
Yeah, maybe you're supposed to keep your clothes in the fridge, Andy.
Yeah, my
like a real New Yorker.
Are being cool.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, cooling in the fridge.
Okay, now, when is Randi Zuckerberg giving her keynote?
She is on Thursday morning, and I will actually be interviewing her personally after her keynote, so that should be exciting. We'll have a video up about that. But she's going to talk about social media strategies, and she's a former Facebook marketing executive, so she's talking about how to succeed with social media and through online marketing means. So that should be exciting.
Yeah, she's awesome, and I guess we'll be reading all about that in Counselor Magazine at some point, too.
You know it, Kathy.
I know it, Andy, because I know you. All right, anything else to share with us from New York?
Counselor Awards are tomorrow night.
Oh, that's
so
great.
Everybody should look out for the exclusive release of the Person of the Year, the International Person of the Year, other Counselor Awards being honored there, and also, of course, the Top 40, first being released tomorrow night.
Oh, that's great. Cool. Well, we'll be looking for that online.
Isn't it also the debut of the new look of Counselor?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's right. Thank you very much. It is the release of the redesigned issue of Counselor Magazine. So you can check that out online. There's a new website as well going up on counselormag.com. So lots of things happening, Kathy.
Well, we're really excited to see that, Andy. And we'll let you go now to do some more slacking off.
All right. Perfect.
All right. Bye-bye. Thanks for
Bye,
calling
Andy.
In. Okay. We have some more callers about our question on challenging orders. On line three, we have Joe. Joe?
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are y'all doing?
Great. We're drinking champagne, so, you know.
I know. I was sitting there envying. Being here in Indy, I was really anxious to hear about the horse also.
Did you listen in?
Yes.
Yeah, what'd you think?
Well, I was watching the race, too, so, I was wondering, and I was really glad to hear that the horse will be doing well.
Yeah, that's great.
I continue to look for it.
That's right. Yeah, we all will. So what's your question or your comment, Joe?
Well, normally my difficult situation runs sometimes. I've had an order, and this is recently, where my client picked an item, and the item that they picked, only one company had it, and it was a new company. I sent them the order, made contact, made sure they received it, sent them the artwork for it, didn't hear back, called them back, and they said, oh, you should have it by Friday. And a week go by, I still hadn't got it. Call them back again, and, oh, I'll check on that and call you back. 2 days later, haven't. Now, one problem is going back to my client and telling them that, well, I'm having problems with this. Is there anything, you know, if there's a different one you want to order?
Mm-hmm.
But then I'm under a time constraint of when they need this. And so that's not an option right now. And it's I find that to be the most difficult sometimes with some of the new suppliers that you never dealt with. And when you are on a time constraint and they have bad communication, and they kind of put you in a bind because they're the only one that provide that item.
Well, I would say to, first of all, reach out to whoever is at the very top of the company. Maybe you were talking to somebody in customer service or an assistant, but I would demand to speak with the owner in that case and get some retribution. Or also get, you know, get them to light a fire under the order. But as far as your customer is concerned, if they wanted that specific item, I would check with some of your trusted vendors to see if they had something similar, and then present them various options that were similar to what they thought they had wanted. That might work out better.
And, you know, where possible, you know, you might want to try to not work with what you know is a new supplier on an order that, you know, that there are significant time constraints on. I mean, I know that's not always possible. Sometimes the client wants what they want, but maybe you could use your expertise to direct them in a different direction, or to a product from a supplier that you know is going to come through for you.
That's a great point, Chris. Yeah, also mention to the client, I mean, be honest with them. Say, well, this supplier is brand new. I've never worked with them before, so I don't know, you know, how trustworthy they'll be. But Chris brings up a great point with that. Does that help at all, Joe?
Yes, because that is some of the ideas, and now I'm real concerned that when I get the product, that it being what, you know, we expected also.
Yeah, well, like I said at the start, I would definitely demand to speak with the owner of the company or whoever is highest up. But I hope that helps, and stay on the phone for our $25 Visa gift card, and don't forget to rate those suppliers on ESP either.
Okay, I will.
Okay.
Thanks, Joe.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, and on line number two, one of our favorite callers is Stanley. Hi, Stanley.
Good morning.
Wow, you're really peppy over there in California. How are you?
Are you drinking champagne too?
Yeah, really.
In under a month, I will be riding my bicycle from San Francisco to Los Angeles.
Wow.
In the AIDS ride.
Oh, that is for you. That's awesome. Good for you.
Yeah, so this morning I already did a 30-mile bike ride, but I had to get back in time to call into you guys.
Yes. Oh, wow. What an underachiever.
Yeah. That's it?
I managed to get out of bed.
So you're not drinking champagne, too, is what you're saying.
No champagne over here.
Well, I think you should open some, Stanley. So do you have a question or comment for us?
Yeah, I have a question. And the question is, you know, just like the last gentleman who called, you know, we get clients who call in and they ask for things really quick, and sometimes ask for just a few things really quick, and you don't want to say no, because, you know, if you say no once, they go to somebody else who will do it or try to do it, and you could lose an account. But when is the right time to say no? I mean, when is it the right time to say, you know what, that's just not, we just can't do it, or is there a time?
I think it depends on the quality of the client. If they're good clients to you, then I don't think there's as much harm in in saying yes to those orders because they do business with you and it sets up future orders. If it's new clients, you really have to make a determination of how much you need the business, because if they come to you the first time and say, I need it, and I need it this quickly, it kind of establishes the precedent for future orders that they're going to want at the same time frame, and that really probably establishes something that you don't want to continue to do mm-hmm. for future orders. So you got to really determine, I guess, how much you want that business, or how much are you willing to lose out on one order to spend more time on other orders.
Right, and great point, CJ. And I would also say to ask your suppliers too. You might think that something is super challenging, and if you ask your suppliers if they can do it or whatever, they may be able to help you out a lot on it. Hope, does that help, Stanley?
Yeah, because, you know, I mean, I have been using a lot of the supplier reps lately.
Mm-hmm.
There's a woman named Erin from Americana, and every time she comes with me on a sales call, she's so professional. We sell a couple hundred garments every time because she brings the entire rack of products. She brings mm-hmm. the entire line of clothing.
That's right.
And so doing that has been really, really powerful. But, you know, sometimes you get these clients that, like, they want something that normally takes, even on a rush, 3 to 4 days, and they want it, like, the next day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're
mm-hmm.
trying to figure out if it's worth it, you know. But I do appreciate your advice.
Yeah, thanks. Stay on the line and get your $25 Visa gift card, and good luck with that ride, that bike ride.
Out.
Okay, we have another caller on line one. Derek? Hi, Derek.
Yeah. Hi, good morning.
How
good
are morning. You?
I'm doing well this morning. Thank you very much for asking.
What can we do for you?
Well, I mean, one of the difficult orders I've just run into, which I've never done, is actually silicone swim caps.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if anybody has experience with that, but apparently you can't just do a regular silk screen, number one. Number two, it takes a very specialized ink.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is that when I look, I use ESP, and the only suppliers are all in the 10,000, 100,000, and when you want to do just 100 or 50, I'm having a very difficult time for that. So I'm wondering if anybody has any suggestions for that.
Hmm.
Well, for the swim caps, I'm not sure if they do it, but one of the bigger swimwear suppliers in our industry is called Banky & Swim. And, you know, if not them, if you look for other swimwear suppliers in the industry, if they don't carry the caps themselves or they don't do the decoration themselves, they may be at least able to direct you to somebody who can do it, and hopefully with a smaller minimum, though, you know, it depends with those niche products. It depends on the company where they set their minimums at.
Yeah.
And what was – I'm sorry, I missed the name of that supplier. What was it again?
Their name is Gulbenkian Swim, Gulbenkian.
Got it. Okay, great.
Okay.
Thank you. And just if you don't mind, I got one other thing. If you
sure.
guys have any, you know, when you're dealing with a customer who just doesn't want to commit any way, like when you ask them, they want to do a golf tournament with $30 to $50 for 120 male and female, half and half, but they won't commit to any way to a bag. I'm just wondering if there's any way, you know, like how do you get a customer to start committing when they're just so all over the map and I can't direct them in any one way? You know, any suggestions? You know, any?
Well, I think CJ mentioned before you have to decide when it's worth your time to be doing all this runaround if they're not going to commit. They're being kind of wishy-washy. Maybe it's time to just say, all right, you know, give them what they want and then let it go.
Got it.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Hang
okay,
on the great. Line, Derek, and you'll get your $25 Visa gift card.
Great. Thank you.
All
you
right.
Have a wonderful day.
Oh, you too.
Thanks.
Okay.
Thanks
a lot, everybody, for calling. If anybody else wants to call us, the number again is 215-953-4979. But right now we're going to get some crisis management for your business from CJ.
So, you know, crises these days are pretty common with corporations, especially with internet, social media, word spreads, and then, you know, everybody's talking about it, how quickly the stories proliferate in, you know, in the media. So these authors wrote this book, Emergency Public Relations, Crisis Management in a 3.0 World, and they have some tips for, they apply even to small businesses, not just big corporations, about ways they can, you know, handle different crises.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll talk about a couple of these. One, define your core values, just so you know, you can perhaps even avoid it in the first place. If you know what your company is all about and how you want to operate. Two, know your audience. So if there is a problem, you can notify your customers. You know who to reach out to get your message out to avoid perhaps worsening what could be a potentially damaging situation. Also talks about ability to collaborate. So, you know, if it, especially in your community, if you're a small business, partner up with either other businesses, or it could be, you know, the local, you know, local police, local firefighters. That way, not only do you have a good reputation with, you know, with those organizations, but then if something bad does happen, then you can align yourself with them, and maybe they can help with the problem, whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great tips from CJ, and we'll put that article up online for everyone to review. And now, Chris, you have some signs that your ads aren't working.
Yeah, signs that your ads aren't working, or your marketing isn't being effective. And probably first and foremost, the biggest red flag is if you're seeing a slowing in sales. You know, basically the marketing and your advertising has to connect and ultimately translate into actual sales. And if you're seeing a slowdown, or if you're seeing, you know, the line kind of remain level, you probably want to make some changes. Mm-hmm. Number two would be low or slow web traffic. Even if you're a brick and mortar operation, you know, these days most people are going to go to your website first before they call you, or before they think about buying anything from you. So if you're seeing real low numbers on your website, it's probably an indication that your advertising and your marketing is not driving folks to that site. Mm-hmm. And then probably the third biggest bell ringer or thing to look out for would be if you have dated material in your ads. Everybody sees this on TV, where it's the middle of March and you're seeing Valentine's Day special ads, you know, from the company.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff just makes you look cheesy and outdated, and why would somebody want to buy from a company who doesn't have its stuff enough together to get a time appropriate ad on.
Right.
So stay on top of those kinds of things, and you'll at least start down the path, hopefully, toward better advertising and marketing.
Okay, great. Yeah. Thanks for that, Chris.
Yep.
Now, Liz, yes. What makes an extraordinary boss? You have some core beliefs of such bosses. What are they?
Yes, and overall, I can say that it's really important to inspire your employees, because mm-hmm. all the points that that I have here are about inspiring employees. So one of the first things you want to do is make sure that you're working together, that you treat your business like an ecosystem and not a battlefield. The second point is that you want to inspire your employees and treat it kind of like a community and not like a machine. So you don't want to be mechanical with things. Mm-hmm. Third thing is that management is about service, not control. So you want to help your employees get the job done and push to make decisions, but you want your employees to be encouraged to do the work.
Right.
Fourth thing, employees are peers, not children. And it's just treat
sometimes every- they act like it.
Yeah. Clearly they haven't been to ASI.
That's right.
It's important to treat everyone like they're important, like they're the most important employee, because it encourages them to do their best, and then you get a better result all mm-hmm. around. Another thing is that motivation comes from vision, not fear. So again, you want to inspire, not intimidate people.
Right.
A sixth one is that change equals growth, not pain. Nobody likes change, but something that makes a boss extraordinary is someone who accepts the change and helps the employees implement it instead of resisting it until the last minute.
Right.
And pushing it on them. Something else is technology. It offers empowerment, not automation. So be open to new technologies. It helps employees work better. They're happier. It makes them do their job easier, and they're going to be more productive. And the last thing is that work should be fun.
We have no fun.
No.
It's sort of
can
the,
I get more champagne?
Yeah, right. Can I get a refill over here? It's important that the way the boss views things, if they're positive and they view it as enjoyable, then the employees below that manager carry that. So if the manager sees it as work and that it's a necessary evil, the people below him are going to, or her, are mm-hmm. going to do the same thing.
Right.
So it's important for the boss to have a positive outlook
right.
and make it enjoyable.
Yeah, the boss definitely sets the tone.
Yeah, so just be nice.
Oh,
that's
the summary.
Yeah, we are. Just be nice.
Well, thank you.
In summary.
Thanks, Liz. And then, Michael, you have a little bit of information on body language.
Yes. Body language is super important. I think sometimes we forget how, especially currently, that we worry about our social media presence, our web presence, and all of that. And we kind of forget to go back to basics and how we actually just communicate one-on-one with another human being, mm-hmm. as rarely as we do it anymore. but when you are in that rare position, especially when you're making a sale, because it make all the difference between interest and lack of interest. Because the article that I worked with here talks about getting the message across, but it also focuses on almost cutting your message off, mm-hmm. and how to kind of lose the person that you're speaking with. At the top of the list, it was talked about symmetry. And if you're behind a desk and you're speaking with another person, if your chair is just off kilter or not facing another person directly, that immediately shows disinterest, like mm-hmm. you have other things to do or you're not really paying attention to what they're saying. So it recommends.
Michael, lower your chair, please.
Oh, sorry. You know, I can't. I was actually kind of looking for that because my knees are hitting the top of the table. But that brings me, that's a nice segue to my next point, which is height. And, you know, it says in the article statistically, which I thought was really interesting because it phrased it in the sense of like a National Geographic examination of in order to explain dominance in the workplace, the executive will keep his chair higher than the others.
Very good. Very good.
Thank you.
And can you give us one more?
Yeah, definitely. Facial expressions. Yeah. We lose track of that. I do it all the time. I will sometimes just find my eyebrow without will raising. And, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean anything, but that can read wrong. And, you know, anything from your children to colleagues will look at what happens on your face and immediately come to some sort of, you know, conclusion as to what you're thinking. And right. It's better just to kind of try and maintain yeah. and be very aware of what you're doing with your face.
Yeah, so just be conscious of all these things and make a better impression. Mm-hmm. Okay, we have just enough time for our favorite section of mm-hmm. the radio show. It's our favorite thing. So let's start with CJ.
So my item is actually their exhibitor in San Diego. It's called Pride Bites, and it's basically a durable dog chew toy that's done in different college mascots and logos. So they USC and Baylor and Mississippi State. So that they're new to the industry, and I'm going to pull it up right now. Their website is pridebites.com. Their phone number is 424-256-0102.
Oh, that's a great idea. How about you, Chris?
All right, so it's summertime. There's going to be a lot of picnics, outdoors events, concerts, carnivals, etc. So I picked Fancy Edge Koozie, which is a koozie that you can stick your soda can in. And the kick with this one, though, it has this ridges along the tops that give it a bit of a different, distinctive look. Mm-hmm. It's available from Norwood. It's product number 45902, and Norwood is 74400.
A fancy product from a fancy guy. Yeah. And next, we're on to Liz.
Yes. Anyone who knows me knows I like two things. It's animals wearing little hats.
And alcohol.
Okay, three things.
It's a crazy combination. Sounds like a heck of a Friday night.
And things that sparkle. So my item that I picked is a blinged out apron. It is from Two Lumps of Sugar. Their website is www.twolumpsofsugar.net, and the phone number is 212-695-8677. It just adds a little flair when, you know, you're hosting a party.
Awesome, and let's wrap it all up with Michael.
All right, so I am a huge fan of music. So immediately when I was on ESP, I found this product from the Magnet Group, and it is an iPod player, but it's designed to look like a guitar amp. And I actually had a sample of this. It's from the Magnet Group, and Kate Malone, marketing manager, and I tested it out, and it sounded just as good as... It sounded better than my computer speakers. I was kind of blown away and, wow. By how great it was. And it actually has a metal plate on the front of it, perfect for imprinting. And I, unfortunately, have lost my sheet that has...
Okay, well you can find
you
these
can check
products,
it out on the website, right, too. But it's from the Magnet Group, and right. It's also one of their newer products that's on ESP.
Okay, so check out all these products and more on asicentral.com/radio. And we are out of time for today. Actually, 3 minutes over. Wow, good show. Everybody, thanks for joining us. And tune in next week when everybody will be back from New York with plenty of stories.
Yay.